and we're holding on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the fifth line. We talked about the writing of the Megillah for the Sota, so now talking about more dinim and more questions in connection with that. Boy Rob, so Rava asked the question, Kosef Shtei Megillahs L'Shtei Sotas. Suppose that the Kohen wrote two Megillahs for two different Sotas. Now, we actually learned at the beginning of the Masechta that you can't give two sotas to drink at the same time. There's this concept, enos mitzvahs, chavilas, chavilas. You don't do mitzvahs in bundles. But that, that here we're talking about, let's say, b'diyevid, he did do that. So b'diyevid, there were two sotas over there, instead of finishing with one, and then starting with the next one, instead he wrote two Megillahs, one for each one of them. And fine, we know that the writing of it has to be done l'shma. So each one was written for Rachel, the other one for Leah. But then he dissolved both of them into one cup of water. Mahu, what would be the din? The question is, does the concept that it has to be l'shma, does that apply also to the erasing? So this that you have to have the writing is done l'shma, Rashi brings, because the pasuk says, but also look, the Kohen should do for her. So does that mean just the writing, or does that mean the erasing also has to be l'shma? So is it k'siva l'shma, exactly that, k'siva l'shma b'inan? Do we just need that the writing is done l'shma b'ha'ika, and you do have that, because each one was written in the name of this particular sota? Or maybe the erasing has to be done l'shma as well, and therefore it's no good. And if you're going to say that we do require that the erasing should also be l'shma, what about another case? What about if he erased each one into a separate cup, like you're supposed to, and then he went and mixed the two cups together? Mahu, then what would be the din? Do we have mechikah l'shma ba'inin v'ha'ika? Here you have both the writing and the erasing were both done l'shma, and therefore were good. Oduma halavdi d'akashasya v'halavdi d'akashasya. Or maybe the problem is that now when you're giving to Rachel and then you're giving to Leah from the same cup, neither one is drinking the Megillah that was done for her. So therefore that would be no good. The imtim t'loimar. The imtim taloima holav yidok hashasya, v'holav yidok hashasya. If you're going to say that yes, in that case, that would be no good because each one is drinking, because neither of them is drinking from a cup that's distinctively for her. What about, here's another possibility, what if he did that? He wrote two separate Megillahs, he dissolved them into two separate cups, then he mixed the two cups together, two cupfuls of water together, and then chazer v'chilkan, and then he poured them off into two separate cups. Mahu, now what would be the din? Would we say yesh breira? Would we say that there is breira, and therefore it comes out that we would say that each one winds up with the actual water, with the actual molecules of water and ink and whatnot that was supposed to be for her? So therefore that works for the Shema. Or ein breira, or would we say that ein breira, and therefore that wouldn't work? Tosfos points out that this is not necessarily the same kind of breira as we have elsewhere in Shas. Usually in Shas, when we talk about breira, we mean that it was never definitively determined in the first place what belongs to which one. You never had the, here we have that ultimately each one was done into a separate cup, and only then were they mixed together, and now they were separated again, as opposed to most cases of breira in the Gemara, usually are where you never had it separated out in the first place, whose is what portion, or what part is truma and maaser, and what part is not, etc. So it's not exactly the same, which is why Tosfos says, that's why the Gemara, when it discusses breira in many places in Shas, it doesn't bring up this point, because this is a different kind of breira than we're usually talking about in Shas. Tosfos ends up discussing after a little bit that's the point, in other words, that we could say that since after all each one is in its own cup, so maybe we would say that now all you need is, it doesn't have to be that it doesn't have to be that she drinks the actual molecules of water that were originally prepared for her. The fact is, of course, that when you mix together two liquids, you're not really going to have that, and it's almost impossible that you're going to have that every one is going to contain exactly the right molecules of water. But nevertheless, the question is that, is it good enough? Because it was distinctive at one point that you have certain water as hers, and now she's drinking water that's distinctive from the other ones, so maybe that's good enough, or maybe not. Anyway, so the Gemara leaves off Teku, so we don't know the answer to that one. As usual, the rule is, at least the way that Rambam paskins, it's a rule that goes back to the Gaonim, that when you have a series of questions like this tied together with Imtim Tzoloimar, then the halacha follows in each case the Imtim Tzoloimar, the possibility that the Gemara brought up, if you're going to say such and such, then, and then it uses that as the basis for the next question. So the result is, here what you have is, if in Rava's first question, where they were dissolved into one cup, then it would in fact be possible, because you need to have the dissolving is done l'shma. In his second case, where it was two, in his second case, where you did them in separate cups and mixed them together, also it would be possible. Only in the last case, where you then redivided them into two cups, then the teku, the result of it would be, says the Rambam, because of the suffix, she shouldn't drink it l'hatchila, but if she drank it, then we're not going to make her drink it again. That would be how we do with the suffix over here. Because of the suffix, we're not going to make her go through the whole ordeal again. So that's that as far as that series of questions. Another thing, Boy Rava. Rava asks another question. Hishka b'siv. What if the Kohen gave the woman to drink using siv? Mahu, then what would be the din? Siv is a kind of absorbent material that grows around palm trees. So Rashi describes what we mean is it's hollow, so therefore it's like a straw. So like she can drink out of it as if through a straw. Tosfos Shams mentions that explanation and also explains that it means, and then gives a different gears of a sieve oiv shreferes. So therefore shreferes would be a tube. So then a shreferes would be something more like a straw. Sieve, according to that, would be more like a it's sort of like a woven material. So it'd be also like like she's drinking it kind of through a filter. And Tosfos seems to have another possibility, which is that you actually use the sieve to absorb the water like a sponge, and then you have her swallow the sieve with the water absorbed in it. So Rava is asking, would that work? Mahu, what would be the din? Bishreferes mahu. And what if it was in a tube? So, this is about the idea that the sieve absorbs the water and then she swallows the sieve. That's the oral says that. So whatever the case, whether she's using the sieve like a straw or whether she's using it like a filter or whether she's swallowing the whole thing, Rava is asking, is that considered a valid way of giving her the water? Derech sieve b'kach and derech sieve b'kach. Is that considered a normal way of drinking or is it not? And again, the Gemara says teku. An interesting thing about this one is all the other questions that we're having over here, all the other questions that Rava is asking, the Rambam brings them one way or the other in Hilchos Sota. For example, with the previous series of questions, he says the first two are possible, and the third one, because of the suffix, she shouldn't drink it, but if she did, b'dievid, we don't make her drink again. And similarly, we're going to have with the next one that the Gemara is going to, that Rav Ashi is going to ask, for some reason the Rambam leaves out this one about Siv. And a couple of the Achronim, Maaser Ekeach and then the Minchas Chinuch wonder why the Rambam leaves it out, but that's how it is. The Rambam left it out, so we don't know what he would say about it. But Pashtos, I guess we would assume he would say the same as the previous one, you shouldn't do it, but if she did, then b'dievid, we wouldn't make her drink it again, but we don't know. Okay. Another one, Boy Rav Ashi, Nishpuchu Mehen V'Nishtayru Mehen. What happens if some of the water spilled and only some of it was left over? Is that good enough that she's only going to be drinking some of the water, or is that not good enough because you need all of it? And again, the answer is take. There are Rishonim who have the Girsa that the Gemara is asking two separate things. Number one, what if Nishpachu Mehen? What if some of it spilled? And then separately, and then the Rosh has the Girsa, Nishpachu Mehen, what Mahu, what would be the din? If some of it spilled, so the question would be, what if some of it spilled, then can she drink the rest of it? And also, what about if most of it spilled and you only had a little bit of it left? So the Drogachover also understands a little bit differently. He says there are also two questions. He says, first, the question is, what if some of it spilled and she drank the rest? And the second question is, what if none of it spilled at all, but she didn't actually drink all of it, she only drank some of it? So what would be the din? And again, the answer is tekel. So again, if some of it spilled, then again, she shouldn't drink the rest, but if she did, then v'dieved, we don't make her drink again. Okay. Now, we talked in the Mishnah about the details of what parts of Parashas Sota are actually written on the scroll that is now erased and dissolved into the water. So in that connection, the Pasuk mentions that the Kohen writes it all out and dissolves it into the water. But you also have twice in those Pesukim, it uses the expression vishbia, that the Kohen beswears her. First, it says he beswears her, and he tells her, if nobody lay with you, etc., then you'll be cleansed, and you won't be harmed by this water. But if you did, then there will be consequences. Then he continues. Then the pasuk continues. The kohen should beswear the woman with shvuas ha'olah and tell her that Hashem will, and that in that case Hashem will make you an object of a curse and so forth among your people. So twice it says the word vishvia. So Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav, Shtei Shvuas Hamuras Basoita Lama. Why does it say twice in connection with the Soita that the Kohen beswears her? Achas Kodem Shenimcha Kamegila, Va'achas Va'achas Shenimcha, Va'achas Va'achas Shenimcha. One takes place before the Megillah is erased, and the other one after it. So Rav Zera is saying, in other words, the Kohen beswears her, then he writes out the Megillah and dissolves it. And gives it to her, and maybe gives it to her to drink, maybe not yet. We're going to have, at the beginning of the next parak, we're going to discuss the exact order of things. But anyway, Reb Zera is saying, after the Megillah is erased, he beswears her, the Pashtus, before she drinks it, he beswears her again, and that's why the two shvus. But Maskev for Rava. But Rava asks on that, how could you say that? The fact is, both of them say in the Torah, before he dissolves the ink. So how can you say that one of them takes place after it? Fine, the Torah is telling us an order of things. Although with that said, Mitzvah Esa in the back of the Gemara says exactly that. That's why Rav is not bothered by that question. But still, Rava is bothered by it, and therefore he needs a different explanation. So Ela Omer Rava. So rather, Rava says the reason for the two Shavuos, Achas Shavuos Sheyeshima Ola, VaAchas Shavuos Sheinima Ola. The difference is one of them is an oath that does have a curse together with it, because the Torah calls it Shavuos Ola, the oath of the curse. The achas shvur she'eni ma'olah. The other one is a shvur without that. Okay, heishi dami. So what does that mean? Shvur she'yeshi ma'olah. How do you express the shvur she'yeshi ma'olah? Now the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to tell us a basic nusach of it. But now we're going to have the various amudoyim who are going to discuss the within that nusach itself. What is the exact way that the kohen should say it to her? So Omar Rava, so Omar of Amram Omar Rav, so Rav Amram says in the name of Rav, the way that he does the Shavuah Sheyeshima Allah, he says to her, Mashmi'ani Alayich, I am beswearing you in Hashem's name, Shaloi Nitmes, that you did not become Tomei, She'im Nitmes, because if you did become Tomei, Yavoyu Bich, then the water will come in you and will cause a curse and you'll end up suffering the consequences that a sota does. But Rava says that doesn't work. The fact is, Torah is calling it shvuas ha'ola, which implies that it's a shvua that contains an ola within the shvua. Here what you have is Ola l'chodekaima or Shvur l'chodekaima. Here the Ola and the Shvur are two separate things, because the Kohen is saying, I'm beswearing you that you didn't become Tomei. And then, separately, if you became Tomei, then here is the Ola. So you don't have it. Shvur is Mashbi'ani Alayach. I am beswearing you. So in other words, if the Kohen is saying to the woman, if he had just stopped over there, So what would happen, in other words, if let's say there didn't need to be an Ola at all. In a regular case, a person says to somebody else, Mashbi'ani Alacha, I am beswearing you that such and such. And the other person answers, Amen.
They agree.
Then they agree to it. So then what happens is, so now if it turns out that was false, you know, if I say, Mashbi'ani Alacha, that I'm beswearing you that you ate this morning, and you say Amen, and in fact you didn't eat this morning, then you would be over on a Shavuos Bitur. You'd be over on a false Shavuos. So Rav Amram is saying over here, that's the first part of what the Kohen tells her. Then he continues with the inverse of it, not just you're going to be, so he's saying, if it's not true, if you are in fact Tomei, then here are the consequences that are going to happen. The problem is, Rav is saying, then you don't have the Ola and the Shavuah together. The Pasuk is calling it Shavuah Sa'ola, the Shavuah of the curse, which implies that you have a Shavuah that incorporates a curse in it. Here you have two separate things. The Shavuah, I'm beswearing you that you're not Tomei, and separately, if you are Tomei, then here's the consequences. So that doesn't work. Ela Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says the proper nusach should be Mashbi'ani Alayich She'in Nitves Yavoyu Bich. You don't even start with the positive part. You start by saying, I am beswearing you that you should know if you became Tomei, then the water will come into you and accomplish such and such. So that's a Shavuos Ola. But Omar Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi still says that's no good. Ola ika shvua leka. In that case, you only have the Ola. You don't really have the shvua. Because in that case, what you have is, the shvua is on the Ola, that the Ola is going to take place. You need a shvua on the woman. How is he being mashvia the woman? He's not saying, all he's saying is, I'm making a shvua that if such and such happened, then the Ola should come on you. So he's not really beswearing her to anything.
Even if she responds on
him. Even if she responds on him, right. So Ella Omer Rav Ashi. So rather, Rav Ashi says the nusach should be Mashvi'ani Alayich. I am beswearing you, Shaloi Nitmes, that you did not become Tomei. Ve'im Nitmes, but if you did become Tomei, Yavoyu Bich, then the water will come into you. So now you have correctly Shavuah Sa'ola. So it's different. In other words, that. So he's saying, all this time he's saying Bich. The difference is that the difference is in Rav Amram's version originally, he said Mashbi'ani Alayich, that you're not Tomei, and he continues, because if you became Tomei, then you're Voyu Bich. So Rav had slogged that up. Now Rav Ashi's Loshin is a little bit different. He's saying that Mashbi'ani Alayich, that you're not Tomei, Ve'im Nitmes, and if you have sworn falsely, and you are in fact Tomei, then your Yavoyu Bich, then it will come in you. So now you have a Shavuah Sa'ola, because now you have the Shavuah is on the woman, and also on the Ola. So that takes care of it.
The Ola is the outcome.
So the Ola is the curse, which is the outcome, yeah. So, yeah. So in fact, one of the Mephoshim, the Minchas Sota, explains that it's not really so much an argument. Rav Amram is saying you could use this nusach. He agrees you could use any of the other nuschos either. And Rava says that your nusach is no good. I mean, in a different one, Rav Ashi says to Rava that your nusach is no good either. But in other words, Rav Amram, for example, would agree that Rava's or Rav Ashi's nusach would also be valid. He's just saying that the way I said it would also work. Okay. The Mishnah says, "Amahi emeres omin omin." Now it's at the end, after the Kohen beswears her, the pasuk says that she says omin omin, and Tosfos refers to Gemaras in a couple of Gemaras in Shavuos that say that in general, when a person says omin to a Shavua, is the equivalent of saying the Shavua themselves. And also, it includes a few different things. Saying Omen includes accepting the Shavuah. It includes tantamount to a Shavuah itself. It also means, I believe that what you're saying is true. And by the way, when you say Omen to a Bracha, you have a number of those things in it as well. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings that when you're saying Omen to a Bracha, so, first of all, you're Yotze the Bracha, that's true. But besides that, also, the word Omen itself means, so when it's a Bracha praising Hashem for doing such and such, Ivrim Matar Asurim, etc., then saying Amen to it says, I believe that what you're saying is true, that Hashem is Pekeach Ivrim, that Hashem is Matar Asurim, and so forth. Then you have, for example, let's say you have Amen on, let's say, a Yehi Rotzen or something. Then it's more Amen, I also want this to come true. And you have some brachas that are actually both. You have some brachas that are formulated in such a way where we ask Hashem to do such and such, rather than just acknowledging that Hashem does such and such. And then the Amen is both. It means I acknowledge that Hashem is the one who has the power to do such and such. And I'm also asking that this should come true.
It's like Kiddush. Okay,
so now when she says Amen, Amen, the question is why the double Amen? So Amen al-Ha'ola, Amen al-Shavua. First of all, it means that there's an Amen on the curse that she's accepting on herself, that if indeed I am deserving of the curse, then I should get it. And Amen al-Shavua, and also I'm accepting on myself the Shavua, I'm acknowledging that I accept that I accept this shvua on myself. That I'm saying, in other words, I agree that what you're saying, that I did not become tamei, is true. And then if it turns out that it's not, then there are consequences. So she's saying amen for both of them. Also, you asked, by the way, the other day, what happens if she doesn't say amen, amen? The pashtos, nevertheless, it's still chal. I mean, he's beswearing her. The fact that she doesn't feel like saying amen doesn't necessarily change that. But nevertheless, he's still besworn her, and he's still written out Hashem's name and so forth. So maybe we would force her to say amen. Maybe we wouldn't even bother. Maybe we'd say it's not even active.
She doesn't sound, but she would say amen. Okay, I agree to it.
Anyway.
All right.
Okay. Also, the Amen Amen means a few other things as well. It means Amen Me'ish Zeh, Amen Me'ish Acher. It means Amen that I have not become Tomei with this man that you suspected me of to begin with and did the kinnery about this man. And Amen that it's also not any other man. And now that she's saying Amen Amen to that, so now if she was in fact Mizana with some other man, then also the consequences of the Sota will happen to her.
That sounds even if it happened, the condition story and it hasn't even known, but there's a
kinnery. Right, exactly. In this connection, by the way, you have a famous story they tell about the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh published his first edition of his Pirush when he was back during his lifetime. Later, about 40 years after his Ptira, there was another, they were preparing another edition of it for print. The printer was a fellow named Osher. He was a shtickel maskil. There's one place in Parshas A when it discusses over there the mitzvah to lend money to a poor yid or give tzedakah to a poor yid. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes a whole pirush over there, api kabbalah, of the deeper idea behind those psukim, and he finishes off over there about the psukim over there are hinting when it talks about a poor person among you. He says it's hinting at Mashiach, and he goes into a whole arichos about Mashiach, and he ends off Mashiach Hashem u'shmoi chayim. The name of Mashiach is Chaim. It's known that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh was one of those people who was a nitzitz of Mashiach. That's why, for example, it says that Baal Shem Tov wanted to meet him. So therefore, so he's writing on himself that he's the Mashiach Shebedur. This Osher didn't like that idea. A person says on himself he's Mashiach and he's long gone or whatever. So he took out those words of Shmoi Chaim in his print. So now the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and Shemaim is very disturbed by that. He says, you know what I'm going to arrange because of that? He says, this is how the story goes. He took out my name in one place in his Pirush. I'm going to stick his name in someplace in the Pirush elsewhere. That's going to show what a terrible person he is. And so it happened in Parshas Nasai when the Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings this Gemara over here that she says, Amen, 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 Imish Zeh, Imme Acher. He calls Min HaShemayim, and instead of Me'acher, it was printed Me'osher, or the Shin instead of Beches. So in effect, so you have, he's quoting over there, that this woman is saying that I wasn't Mizana with Osher. Not long after that, they found in town that this Osher, in fact, was guilty of going around with an Ishish, and they gave him Malkus and kicked him out of the city, so he got what he deserved. Yeah, messed with the wrong person, exactly. Yeah. Anyway. The Mishnah continues, Omen shalei satisi arusa, also she's saying an Omen that I did not go astray when I was an arusa. Now, even though, as we're going to learn further on in the Masechta, the husband is not able to be mekane for her when she's an arusa. We're going to learn later on that it has to be kodma shrivas ba'al laboyol. It has to be for her to be a soita, that she first had relations with her husband before there's any possibility that she had relations with anybody else. So he can't be mekane for her as an arusa. So that, in other words, so that by itself wouldn't be strong enough for her to be mashbia her. But now Rashi says this is where we learn the concept of gilgul shvua. We have many places in Shas that Reuven brings Shimon to Beis Din, and he has a claim that's strong enough to require Shimon to swear on something. And then we say that he can also include in the shvua other things which by themselves would have been too weak for him to bring Shimon to Beis Din. But now that he already has Shimon in Beis Din and already swearing that he can add other things as well, this is where we learn it from. That we're saying that the husband can include and the wife can be made to swear even on, for example, if she wasn't Mezaneh as an Arusa, even though had it been while she's an Arusa that the husband suspects her, he wouldn't be able to be Mekane to her at that point, as we're going to learn later on, but nevertheless, he can be included in the one Shul. And then she'd suffer the consequences, yeah. So that's Arusa. Unesua, or when I was already fully married, or Shemeres Yavam, or when I was Shemeres Yavam, or Knusa, or when I was fully married. Meaning, in other words, if this woman at one point had been a Shemeres Yavam, and now she did Yibum with her Yavam, and now the Yavam suspects her and brings her to the Beis Mikdash, etc. So again, there can be included in the Shavua that when she was a Shemeres Yavam, she wasn't Mezaneh. We're going to discuss that point. We're going to discuss that point in the Gemara. The Gemara explains, by the way, the Gemara explains in Yevamos that the Knusa is the same as Nesua. It means fully married. The difference is when we talk about a regular marriage, we go through the stages of Erusin and then Nisuin. When it comes to a Yevamos, and technically all you have, the Daraisa, all you need is Bia, only the Drabonon, do you need Maimer, as we learned in Yevamos, therefore it uses the word Knusa for it. So in other words, Knusa means brought into the household, yeah. Okay, so the Omen, so the double Omen includes all these points. Also, it's also Omen Shaloivit Mesi. Also, she's saying Omen that I did not become Tomei. The Imnit Mesi, Yavoyubi, and I agree that if I became Tomei, then the water will come into me and will cause all these consequences that happen to the Sota. Rav Meir says it means even more than that. Omen Shaloivit Mesi. It means an omen that I did not become tamei before, omen shaloi et tamei, and an omen that I will not become tamei in the future. And if eventually at some later point she is mezaneh, then the water will the gemara will bring that the water sort of like gurgles back up into her throat and causes the consequences then. Tosfos brings something similar from the Yerushalmi that happened that the water not really comes up into her throat like the way our Gemara is going to say, but rather like it sort of stays in her body and then accomplishes the consequences when necessary. Almost like a shock, like it stays in the body, yeah. You have actually, by the way, the Medrash tells a story involving two sisters, two twin sisters. One of them was Mezaneh, and her husband is bringing her to Yerushalayim as a Soita. She's nervous because she was in fact Mezaneh. She doesn't want to end up blowing up like a Soita. So on the way, she passes through the town where her twin sister lives, and since they look very similar, so her sister offers, you know what, I'll do it instead of you. So I wasn't Mezaneh, so I'll get out of it safely, and then so will you. So she goes through the whole thing. Of course, she comes out of it okay. They come back together. The Medrash says they were so happy to see each other. They gave each other a kiss, and then that kiss was enough to transfer the soita water from the one to the other, and the other one ended up happening to her. What happens to a soita? The whole thing, of course, is Lamayim Mederach HaTeva. Mefoshim point out, really, you know, you think about it, this is the only example this is the only mitzvah in all of Torah where it says to do something supernatural like that in order to find out. You never find. I mean, every other mitzvah is supposed to be done within Derech HaTeva. Here you have something that's completely beyond Teva, the way that the Mei Sota works. And the vort is, in other words, exactly that, in order to preserve the Kedusha of the Jewish household and in order to preserve Sholem, Ben Ish Lishdei. And then the Torah is telling you that Hashem is saying, I will do a ness on that. I will do a ness for that purpose in order to make this work. Wow. We're going to learn at the end of the Masechta, by the way, the Jewish people had to be, what we're going to learn throughout the Masechta. We learned already at the beginning of the Masechta, the husband himself has to be on a high level. He has to also be that he wasn't guilty of any averus in this area. Otherwise, the water won't work for his wife. And we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta, in fact, that there came a point when people are, when they had to stop it because people are, because Znus is getting more rampant. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. Hakol Shavin. Now, everybody, both the Tanakama and Rav Meir agree, She'en Masne'ima, that he cannot make a Tanai with her. In other words, there cannot be included in the Shvua, Loya Kodim Shetisaris, about anything that happened before the Erosin. Loy al Achna Shetisaris, and not about anything that would happen after she gets divorced. And also Nister La'acha v'nifmas v'achaka chazira. What would happen if he divorces her and then she's alone with one with another man and she actually becomes Tommy and she's actually Mizana with him and then her first husband remarries her? Also Loy Hayamas Ne'ima, that also cannot be included in the Tanai because all of those are cases where she's not going to be also to him. If she was Mizana before the Erusin, that doesn't make her also to him later on when he's Ma'aris. So similarly, if it was after the Gerushin, and Rashi explains, even if now, if she had had Kiddushin in between after he divorced her, then he'd be also to remarry her. That's Masir Gurushasai that it talks about in, that it talks about all over in Yevamos. But here, where it was only Znus and there was no Kiddushin, then there's, it doesn't asser her to remarry him, therefore that can't be included. So in other words, in short, if this woman had been Mizana in any of these examples, before the Erusin, or after the Nis, or after the Gerushin, or between the original marriage and the remarriage, then the water, then it's, as long as she didn't, during any time when she would become also to her husband, then the water doesn't do anything to her. So the Gemara says, Zachlal, the general rule is, any time when if she has relations, she won't be also to him. Then that can't be included in the Tanai. That's not included in the Shavua because the Shavua only covers things where she would be also to him. So now we mentioned in the Mishnah Shemeres Yavam. So now that is going to. So now the Gemara is going to discuss that point. The Gemara says Amar of Hamnuna Shemeres Yavam Shezinsa Asurali Yavam. If a Shemeres Yavam is Mizana, while she's a Shemeres Yavam, then Rav Hamnuna says she is also to her Yavama. She is also to her Yavam. So Mimai, where is Rav Hamnuna getting that from? So Midikatani, Shemeres Yavam Oknusa. Because in our Mishnah, he mentioned that she says that I wasn't Mizana when I was a Shemeres Yavam or when I was married. So Rav Hamnuna says, Iyam Shlema Asira, if you're going to say that a Shemeres Yavam is indeed also to her Yavam, that he can't do Yibum with him anymore. Well, then it makes sense why he could include that in the Tanai. And by the way, Tosfos points out, we're talking now, according to Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara is going to point out over here, according to Rabbi Akiva, for sure, that would be the case because it's a Chayve Lavin, and Rabbi Akiva holds that there can be even a Mamzer from Chayve Lavin. What we're talking about over here, Rabbi Amnuna is saying, even according to the Chachamim, we learned in Yevamos, we had a Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, that there's a suffix whether a Shemeres Yavam is considered an erva to the extent where Kedushin are not toifas, even though it's only an Isulav, since the Pasuk says in it, Loisia, Eishes Ames, Achutza, Leishzer, does that constitute just an Isur that she cannot marry, or does that constitute a statement of fact she cannot marry a Zer because Kedushin are not toifas? So now, when Rav Hamnuna is saying that she would be also to her Yavam, he is learning like that possibility that it means that that Kedushin are not toifas, and therefore that she would be also to her Yavam.
And she also, she could even be also to a few of them. So if she brought this whole
one. Well, yeah, well, when we say the Yavam, we mean whichever Yavam ends up being. So Rav Hamnuna is saying, again, Iyam at Bishleima Asira, if you say that she is in fact also to her Yavam, Mishum Hochi Masna Bahadah. Well, that explains why that can be included in the Tanai. Because again, the rule is, as in the Mishnah, any time when if she was Mizana, she would become also to her husband, then it can be included. Well, here, if she had been Mizana as a Shemeres Yavam, she'd be also to her Yavam. Her Yavam didn't know that. He did Yivam with her. So now we can say that it's included. Again, he wouldn't have been able to be Mekane to her at the time when she was a Shemeres Yavam, but now that he's Mekane to her as his fully married wife, then it can also include anything that would have made him also, that would have made her also to him before. Eli Amit Loyasira, but Rav Hamnuna says if she's not also to the Yavam in the first place, then because she was Mizana doing while as a Shemeres Yavam, Hechi Masne Bahada, then how will he be able to make a Tanai with her? V'hatnan, didn't the Mishnah say Zachal Kol Shiru Tibol Loyte Asura Loy Loyay Masne Ima, that if there's any case where there's Beila and she's not also to him, then he can't make the Tanai. So obviously that shows, therefore, that she would be also. However, Amri b'mar Rava, however, they said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, less hilchus akirav hamnuna. No, the halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna. She is not, in fact, also to the Yavam. So what about Ela Hod Katani Shemeres Yavam Uknusa? What about our Mishnah that mentions the Shemeres Yavam? And yeah, that's where Rav Hamnuna is learning from. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Homani Rav Akiva. Because our Mishnah might be only like Rav Akiva, Dama in Kiddushin Tovs in B'chayvi Lavin. Rav Akiva says that even with Chayvi Lavin, Kiddushin don't work, or Meshavi La Ki Erva. So therefore, so Rav Akiva considers the Yavama to be like an Erva. And he holds a child from such a thing would be a mamzer. So therefore, according to him, you could say therefore that a Shemeres Yavam is Mizana is also to her husband, is also to her Yavam. And again, they can't do Yavam anymore, only Chalitza. But the Chachamim, so not like Sir Tosfos had said that to begin with, Rav Hamnuna was talking even according to the Chachamim. Now we're saying that no. What the Mishnah is saying and what Rav Hamnuna is deriving from would be only according to Rav Akiva. The Chachamim might in fact disagree with that and say, since it's only an Isur Lav, maybe they would say Kedushin or Tosfos, maybe not. The Tosfos, Amri B'mar Rava, discusses that at some length, whether maybe we would say that. Fact is, the Gemara in Yavamas does say there is a suffix whether Kedushin or Tofus in a Yavama. If a Yavama wants to marry somebody else without Yibum or Chalitza, does that work or not? Rav says it's not Tofus, and Shmuel says that it's a suffix and therefore she needs a get. But fine, whether we say that Kedushin or Tofus with her or not, we're not saying that it goes as far as Mamzerus, and therefore we don't necessarily have a basis according to them for saying that if she was Mizana as a Shemeres Yavam, that she should be also to her, that she should be also to the Yavam, not necessarily.
If she got a Kedushin, then she'll be Astavosa, right?
So if she got Kedushin from somebody else, so that's the thing. Are those Kedushin even Toifus? Rav holds they are not. Shmuel says it's a Suffolk, and therefore because of the Suffolk, she's going to need a get from the other guy. She didn't get from the other guy, she didn't need Chalitza from the other. Anyway, Tosfos actually says over here that, first of all, Tosfos points out, Amri Marava, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, refers to Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Yirmiyah is the one who's objecting to what Rav Hamnuna is saying. Tosfos actually says a very interesting thing. Usually when the Gemara says the halacha is like somebody, or the halacha is not like somebody, then that's it, the halacha is like him. Here Tosfos says, even though Rav Yirmiyah is disagreeing with Rav Hamnuna, nevertheless, Tosfos says in this case the halacha would be like Rav Hamnuna, that if the Shemeres Yavam is Mizana, she would be also to her husband. On the other hand, many Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, we take what the Gemara is saying here at face value. So you have Machlokas Rishonim, in short, whether if a Shemeres Yavam is Mizana, is she in fact also to the Yavam or not? So that's that then. So Rav Hamnuna is saying that she would be Osir and tries to bring a proof from the Mishnah, and the Gemara is saying that's not the proof because the Mishnah might be like Rav Akiva. Okay, next. Boy Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah now has a question. Mao she yasna adam al misurin habishoyin. What about, would the husband, suppose the husband divorced his wife, remarried her, now during the second marriage is Makane, can he include in his shvua that she wasn't Mizana the first time around they were married? And also, on the Sui Ochiv Mahu, and what would happen also, can the Yavam include in the shvua that she wasn't Mizana when she was married to his brother? Now, Rashi explains that it's true that the Mishnah had mentioned Arusa Unasua Shemeres Yavam Uknusa, however, you should realize says Rashi, those are not talking about one woman, those are talking about two different cases. One case of a woman who was married, or was Arusa, and then married, and a separate case of a woman who was a Shemeres Yavam, and now is married to her Yavam. So not necessarily from the Mishnah can you deduce that if she was married to Reuven, and now he died, and now she did Yibum with Shimon, that Shimon should be able to include the time when she was married to Reuven? Not necessarily. You can't say that. You can't say that the Mishnah is implying that. So Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that says that since we're going to learn further on in the Masechta, the husband can be moichel on the kinui after he said al tisosui mishpoini, he can be moichel on that, and then nothing happens. We're going to learn that later on in Daf Chafei or so. So Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that if he divorced her, it's the equivalent of being moichel, and therefore there'd be no question in the first place. But our Gemara is not necessarily taking that view.
Wasn't wanting, but if she actually had religion with someone else, so she was either.
Well, that's So the Gemara says Toshma. Well, that's what we can see from our Mishnah. Zakla kol shetibav loy teya surulai. If there's relations which don't make her also to him loy hoya masniima, then he can't make a tnai with her. Implying ha asira, implying that if it is something that would make her also to him. Hachinami demasna. Then indeed he can include that in the tonight. Now, if she had been Mizana the first time around while she was married to him, then she would be also for them to get me married. Similarly, if she was Mizana when she was married to Reuven, and then Reuven died, and then now she's up for Yibum to Shimon, then she would be also to Shimon. So therefore, the Gemara says, Shemamina, good, then that proves it. Yes, those can be included in the tonight as well. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Rav Meir Omer Omen Shalonit Meisi before. Rav Meir says that not only you can include the past, but also the future, that she won't become Tomei in the future. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Loit Sh'omer Rav Meir Omen Shalonit Tamei, he doesn't mean she ain't Tamei Mayim Bot Kenosa Me'amshav. He doesn't mean that the water will already test her as of now, because Hashem judges a person as they are now, Ba'asher Rusham. Rather, what it means is Ella lichshiti tamei. It means that if she becomes tamei in the future, mayim ma'arit rinosa, then the water will gurgle back up into her throat, or boit pinosa, and will test her then, and the consequences will happen to them. Will happen then. Rashi brings the word ma'aririn when a person is like gurgling and having trouble breathing. So Rashi explains the word ma'aririn means it chokes her when a person is gasping and it makes a sound like oh oh oh. So that sounds like ar-ar, and in fact it brings from a pasuk that uses such an expression. So therefore, ma'ar-noisa means the water comes back into her throat and chokes her and causes her to suffer the consequences of a slaita. So the Gemara says, boy Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi, in this connection, asks a question. Ma'ushi yasna odam al-nisuin ha'achroni. So now, according to the mayor, would he be able to also have in mind the later marriage? In other words, so can he say now, we're married the first time, and I'm Makana to you. If it should happen that we get divorced at some later time, and then I remarry you, then I'm, as of now, I'm including in the Tanai that you're not Mizana in the second marriage. Can he include that or not? Do we say hashda mi aloy asirale? Right now, she's not also to him because it has nothing to do with the current marriage. It's only the future kiddushin and the future marriage that's going to create the isir. Oyduma zimin de megarish la v'hodem ahadala. The fact is, he might divorce her and then remarry him, and then remarry her. And if she's mizana during the second time, she will be also to him. So according to the mayor, that you can include the future. Can he include even the future, even though it's a separate marriage? So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's prove from our Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, Kol Shavin, both the Meir and the Chachamim agree. Shaloi ha'yamasne ima, loy al-kodim shetis'aris, v'loy al-acha shetis'aris. You can't include anything that happened before the erusin or after the divorce. And even nistero la'echa v'nitnes v'acharka fiachzirena, even if she was secluded and was mizan, even if she was secluded with another man and was mizana with him, and then he remarried her loy ha'yamasne, then he can't include that in the tnai. Implying that, yes, if he does remarry her, and then she becomes Tomei, where then that would make her also to him for the future after that, then indeed he can include that in the Tanai. So good, Shmamina, that proves that, yes, he can include that. In the Mishnah, by the way, Hagos Habach points out that you seem to sort of have two Gersois blended together in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Loi Kodim Shabbos Aris, Loyal Akash Diskarish, and then on the other hand, the Mishnah continues, if she was alone with somebody and became Tommy and then he remarried her, Loyal Yamas Nehema, so he brings that, there seem to be actually a slightly different, there's an older Girsa, and then there's a Girsa of Rashi, and it looks like the printer kind of blended the two of them together. But anyway, that's the bottom line is that yes, any time that her znus would make her also to her husband can be included, since your mayor holds that you can include the future as well, then yes, he would say that their husband can include that if we ever get divorced and remarried, that it should include that also, then yes, it will include that also. And then if she's mezana the second time around, then yes, as we said, my ma'arinosa, the water will choke her and so forth. The Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan." We learn in a Braisa when the pasuk says "Zois Torah Saknois," this is the Torah of the warning. So that means, when it says Torah, the Torah of implies that every time you have the same kind of thing is done again. Rashi says Torah Achas L'chol Aknos. There's one rule for all Knos, for all cases where the husband wounds her and the whole Sota process is triggered. Which we learn from that. It means that a woman could end up drinking the Sota water again and again. So she was under suspicion. The husband was Makane. They went through the whole process. She drank. Now we're saying that if that were to happen again, then he could make her drink again. He could bring her back to the Bis Mikdash again and go through the whole process all over again.
Well, before that, if something happened that when girl goes, why we have to bring her again?
Not because of the first time because the second time she may not have done anything wrong either, but nevertheless he suspects and he was Makane and so forth. So
it would react maybe, but maybe
you can't necessarily rely on that. The fact is that as far as he's concerned, he doesn't know one way or the other, and if we can bring her and do the same thing all over again. Rabbi Yehuda I'm a Zois. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that since it says in the pasuk zois, which is a mute, that means she'ena shoshos v'shoina. That means a woman does not drink it again. Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi that in fact there was a woman named Kurkamis, who actually did end up drinking multiple times soda water in the presence of Shmaya v'Atai. The Mishnah mentions an avius. It says over there that Akavya ben Mahalalel disagreed with the Chachamim on a number of dinim. One of them was the question whether a shifcha, whether a giyoris or a shifcha meshachreris can be made to drink the soda water. Akavya ben Mahalalel held no. The Chachamim held yes. And Akavya said to them, so the Chachamim said to Akavya, what about this case of Karkamis, or Kurkamis, who drank and Shmaya Vavtayan supervised it, and she was a Shifcha Meshacheres, and he answers them in a way which the Chachamim actually felt was disrespectful to Shmaya Vavtayan, and they ended up putting him in Nidri. But whatever the case, the point is, from the Yerushalmi brings that it wasn't just one time, apparently she ended up going through this whole ritual of the Sota several times.
Who's the one that answered that on this topic?
That was Rakavim and Malal answered in a way that the Chacham felt was disrespectful to Shmaya Vavtayan. He answered them, Dugma Hishkua, which there's a few different explanations among the Mephoshim, what exactly he meant by that. He means that they didn't give her real soda water, they just gave her something that looked like it in order to scare her. So in that case, the Chacham figured that's a chutzpahdika thing to say about them, that they would pretend like that, or it means some of the Mephoshim explain. It means he was saying to them that, listen, they themselves were B'nai Gerim, so therefore they gave it to her as a Giyurda, so that's chutzpahdik to mention their ancestry like that in a derogatory way, whatever the case, anyway. The point. The Mishnah mentions it in Adias, and the Gemara mentions it in Brachas, yeah. Anyway, the point is, we see from this Tosfos, from this Yerushalmi, that it wasn't just a one-time thing, she went through this several times. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying that no. A woman does not go through multiple times. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Ma'ase v'hei l'fanenu nechunya choifer shichin. It happened once that nechunya choifer shichin, his job with shichin are ditches. So his job in the time of the Bais Mikdash was to dig ditches for the ditches and then wells and pits and whatnot for the Oiler Regal. So they have plenty of water. So he gave Adris in front of us, Shoisha Shoisha Shoina, that a woman could drink the soda water multiple times. But Rabbi Yehuda says, V'kibalnu Adrisi B'shnei Anoshim. Now we accepted that his Adris is valid only when there's two different husbands. So she was married to Reuven. Reuven died or divorced her. Then she married Shimon, and now Shimon is warning her again. Then yes, she could end up having to drink again. Abaloi v'ish echad, but not when it's only one husband, then the one husband can't, because of the word zois, says Rabbi Yehuda, the one husband can't make her drink a second time. Zeis means that if it's one husband, then it doesn't work. Then the second time, you can't do it. Once he did it one time, then the second time, if she's under suspicion again, either, like you said, either the water will choke her again, and then it'll happen anyway or automatically. But if it doesn't, then nevertheless, he can't do anything. He just has to divorce her, and she forfeits her ksuba. As usual, in the case where there's no meisaita.
Yeah, but no witnesses can't be.
Yeah, there's witnesses to either the kinui or the stira, as we discussed at the beginning of the Sefer. The Chacham say that no, ain ha'isha shoysa b'shoina ben de'ishecha ben v'shnei anashim. The Chacham say that no, this is a third opinion, that no, she can never drink again, whether it's one husband or whether it's two separate husbands. So Tosfos compares it, by the way, with a case involving a person who stole. We have dinim over there about when is he sold as an eved ivri. That once he was sold once as an eved ivri, so then you have, if it was, he stole again from the same person, he could be sold again as an eved ivri, but it was somebody else that not. So Tosfos wonders why it's any different over here, and it brings that Rashi over there learns that in general, once he was sold, he can never be sold again. Then that would fit better with our Gemara over here. So the Gemara says, so like this, you have three different opinions. So the question is, first of all, Tanakama Nami Hoksiv Zois. According to the Tanakama, doesn't it say Zois? So shouldn't they be learning a miut from that? V'rabbonin Basroi Nami Hoksiv Todas. And the later Chachamim, the Chachamim Omrim at the end of the Braisa, the fact is it says Todas, which implies that every time you have the same rules. So Rabbi Yehuda at least is saying that there are some times when she could, sometimes when she couldn't. So he's saying you have a miut and you have a ribu. He said therefore you apply one and you apply the other. But how is the Tanakhama saying that there seem to be no exceptions at all? The Tanakhama seems to be saying across the board, always choice of the Shona. And according to the Chachamim at the end, she can never be. So what do they do with the Zeus and the Torah? So Omar Rava, so Rava says like this, the Isha could have boiled up the Kulamalik, Pligidei, the Isha's church of the Shrine. If it was one husband and it was the same possible boil, so Reuven is suspecting that she was being Mizana with Moshe and tells Alti Sosri Mishpoini, and now again it happened again while she's married to Reuven, again she's under suspicion with Moshe, then everybody agrees that she won't drink again. Just give Zeus, because that's what you have the word Zeus for. So in that case, it'll just be if Reuven again suspects her of being with Moshe, and he warns about the Sussri, Mishpoini, and she is instead with him, then again he'll have to divorce her and she forfeits Uksuba, like we learned at the beginning of the Masechet. Bishnei Anoshim Ushnei Boyolin. On the other hand, if it was two different husbands and two different Boyolim, so Reuven suspected her with Moshe, and she, later on Reuven died or divorced her, and she married Shimon, and now Shimon suspects her with Shloima, then the Kol Amalek Pligido, she shows her Bishnei. Then everybody will agree that she will drink again. Dichtiv Torahs, because there it says the word Torahs, and everybody, even all three Tanoim in the Mishnah will agree to that. He pligi. The machloikus would be the ish echad, the shnei boyolim, the shnei anashim, a boyol echad. What if it was one husband and two boyolim, two potential boyolim, Moshe and Shloima, or one or two husbands and one boyol? So in other words, she was married to Reuven, and he suspected her with Moshe and warned her, and she went through the whole process, and now he suspects her with Shloima, the same husband, or suspects her with a different man, Shloima, or the other way around. She was married to Reuven, Reuven died, she married Shimon, and now Shimon suspects her also with Moshe. That would be the machlokes. Tanakama sava toras l'rabuya kuli. The Tanakama says the word toras in and of itself would include all those various cases. Zois, l'mo'oti, ishachot, boyolachot, and the word zois excludes only the case where you have one husband and one boyol, that would be the case. We just said, the Chachamim agree that in that case, she's not drinking again. That would be what we're excluding by the word zois. But Rabbanan Basroi sadly, the Chachamim Omrim at the end of the Braisa, the third opinion, they say, on the contrary, zois l'mo'oti kuli, the Zeus excludes most cases. Todas, l'raboy, shnei anoshim, shnei boilim. You have the Todas, which is a riboy. So fine, that includes the one case where you have two separate husbands and two separate boilim that she could be made to drink again. The Rabbi Yehuda takes a middle view. He says, Zeus, l'mo'oti tauti, Todas, l'rabos tauti. The word Zeus is excluding two possible cases, and the word Todas is including two possible cases, because you have four cases altogether. You have one husband and one boil, one husband and two boilim, two husbands and one boil, or two husbands and two boilim. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Zois is including two of them, that the Zois is excluding two of those cases, the Torah is including two of the cases. Zois the Mo'oti Tauti. The Zois is excluding two cases. Ish Echad, Boil Echad, Ish Echad Ushnei Boilin. It's excluding the two cases where it's all the one husband. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, you have a Riboy and a Miut, so therefore it must be up to the Chachamim to determine what is more logical that we should be including and what we should be excluding. And so Rabbi Yehuda takes the view, says Rashi, like this you have, when the husband was mekane for her with one boil, and now it turns out she was innocent. Now if he's mekane to her to a different boil, now if he's mekane to her, whether with the same boil or whether with a different one, then we have every reason to think that this husband is just a quarrelsome kind of guy and he's trying to cause trouble. So therefore we don't allow there to be a second, we're not going to put her through this whole process again a second time just because he seems to be a quarrelsome kind of guy. Therefore, Yehuda says, the Zois must be to be Mamayit, where if the same husband, we're not going to make her go through it twice. On the other hand, since it's separate husbands, Rabbi Yehuda says, obviously there's no reason to think that her second husband is the same kind of guy as the first one. Therefore, we have every reason to think that, in fact, he has good grounds for suspicion, and therefore that we should make her go through the whole process again. One or the other. So, the halacha ends up being like the Tana Kama. So when you have ish echad or boil echad, then when you have the same husband is suspecting her with the same boil, then you don't make her go through it again. But in all the other cases, whether it was separate husband or whether it was separate boiling, then you would.
But if she married a different woman, then they couldn't.
If who married a different, if the husband himself marries a second wife, then the rules of Sota are going to apply to her separately, of course. Right. And yeah, I mean, each woman is going to stand by herself. But yeah, that's how the Rambam ends up paskining in this regard. He says exactly that. If she drank the Me'am Morim and she was cleansed of them, then he was mekane with her with the same man and can't give her again. She's going to be also tamed forever and divorced without a ksuba. But if it was somebody else, then she could drink multiple times as long as each time it's because of a different boil. And then he goes on to say that the same thing. If he divorced her and she married somebody else, even if it was the same boil, then also he can give her a drink again. So in other words, you have three of the, and then the Rambam says, the point is that, even doesn't matter how many times it is, you don't say that, look, every time each person, each husband is suspecting her with the same guy, Moshe, there must be where there's smoke, there's fire, something is going on over here. No, every time we have her go through the whole process and see whether she's innocent or not. Hadron Alachoya, maybe.
Doesn't seem like it's going through the whole situation, the whole last thing, didn't seem to hold, prevent her from going back to be a skeeter or something.
Well, that's another matter, that's true, yeah.